Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, as you remember, last week we started a brand new series titled Inner Strength Part 1, right? And we're moving on to Part 2 this week. But last week, you might remember, I brought Neil up here and I was sharing with you guys how I went to a CrossFit seminar. And they taught us how to teach the back squat properly, right? So people don't get injured. And Neil did a great job. Neil, you had great form. Give Neil a hand clap. Awesome. So I'll make you do it again. But we talked about when I was at that CrossFit seminar, the teacher, the instructor, he said, now, guys, you have to watch when people start getting more weight on that bar. What happens is as they begin to come up out of the squat, right, they'll begin to bend over. They'll begin to collapse. You guys remember that? And what we said was the instructor, he said, that's a real good indication that that person has weak core strength. The core muscles are weak, and that's something you need to go to work on right away, because as the weight increases, they're going to collapse, and they could hurt their lower back. And I told you that we liken that to the spiritual, right? Is that as the load, as the pressure of the times, as that increases, is if we don't have a strong spirit, we're going to collapse. We're going to fall underneath it. So if you're taking notes, you'll see there at the top of your notes there, that's our big idea. It's this, is that, you know, in the same way we need a strong core muscles for our squat, right? We need a strong spirit to stand up under the strain and pressure of the world. And what kind of brought this about, many of you have seen it in the news, you've seen it on social media. We've had different famous Christian praise and worship leaders, Christian authors, people just losing their faith left and right. And we talked about what we have right there is we have people, right, that don't have a strong spirit. And that's not what I want for you. I know that's not what you want for me. That's not what we want for our kids or for our church. Amen? And so in 1 Timothy, I'm just going to go and cover some of this stuff we again review. 1 Timothy 4, we see that Paul, he's talking to his protege, Timothy. It's really awesome in the Message version. And he says, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith. They're going to chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. And these liars have lied so well and for so long, they've lost their capacity for truth. In verse 6, it says, but Timothy, you've been raised on the message of the faith, the Bible, right? And you followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. I love this. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. And then I asked each and every one of you if you would allow me to be your spiritual trainer. And you so graciously said, yeah, sure, right? And you promised to do the exercise I gave you, right? And so we talked a little bit about what are the ways that we strengthen our spirit. You might see those in your notes there. Number one, we said, was meditation on God's word. That's what we covered last week. And then this week, we're going to be covering practicing the word. And then number three, giving the word first place. And then number four, we're instantly obeying the voice of your spirit. But your spirit can be educated just like your mind. Your spirit can be strengthened up just like your body. But we know that it takes time. It takes consistency. It's just not going to happen overnight. And so this last week, I asked you all to commit to 10 minutes a day meditating in God's word. And I just want to tell you, you guys are awesome. People have been emailing me what they're getting out of the Bible each and every day. I've had people shooting me stuff on Instagram. I had one gentleman, Dad, who was pretty awesome. He told me that he was at the Recplex swimming laps in the pool. And as he swims, he meditates on a particular scripture. And so how many, by raise a hand, you said, Daniel, I did some of the meditation this week, just a couple of days. Okay, raise your hand. Look at that. Look around there. Isn't that awesome? Okay. All right. So what I'd like for you to do, we're going to take a couple minutes, and you're going to talk to your neighbor and tell them what you got out of the scripture this week. Okay? Uh-oh. Now, some of you are blessed you got your mate sitting next to you, so that's easy. The ones of you that don't, but this is important, right? That we get some. So I'll start first, okay? So I was in Joshua this week, okay, reading the first couple chapters of Joshua, and I was looking at when, you know, the priest stepped into the Jordan River, right? Do you guys know that story with the Ark of the Covenant on their back? Jordan River, it splits, and all the people of Israel cross, right? And then as you look there, the next couple verses, Joshua, he makes an altar of thankfulness, remembrance to the Lord of what he did, bringing them out of Egypt. And then in the next verse, it says that God magnified Joshua. How cool is that? God magnified David. God magnified Kim. Wouldn't that be awesome to have God say that about you? And so I just thought it was a cool connection there as I was reading and meditating my 10 minutes of the connection between thanking God, remembering the good things that God's done in my life, to him promoting me. See how simple that was? Maybe God or the Holy Spirit just told you, you know, hey, you need to watch the way you talk. Maybe you need to watch the way you do this. But it's important that you share it with somebody, okay? So go ahead, share it with somebody right now, okay? Can you do it? Just a couple minutes. Okay, great. Didn't that feel good? Do you feel stronger? It kind of just cements it, too, when you share it with somebody, right? Dad would always play a game with us, you know, Daniel, what's God telling you this week? Oh, I wasn't thinking about God at all, you know. Oh, man, right? But how many know if we're going to stay strong in times like these, the devil's going to hit us when we least expect it. And we got to be ready in season and out, full of the word and strong, right? So I encourage you, keep that up, okay? So that was what we put on the whiteboard for last week. That was the exercise this week. Number two, practicing the word. Everyone say practicing. Practicing. Say practicing. Practicing. It's not the word I know, it's the word I practice that brings results. That's in your notes. It's not the word I know, but it's the word I practice that brings results. There's all kinds of Christians out there, man, that could quote the word left and right. They know all these different chapters, but they are some of the most crankiest, meanest, judgmental people. Have you ever met those people? They know the word, but they don't practice the word. You're sitting tonight in Church on the Rock, which was built on this scripture right here, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Ellie referred to it tonight. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, everyone say does them. That's the two key words, and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, they're going to be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, this is Jesus telling us right here that if you and I want to stand the storms of life that come, whether it be bad news on the job, whether it be unexpected bills, maybe it's a bad report from a doctor, if we want to stand, not flip out, we've got to be a doer of God's word. It's not enough for you just to know the scripture, but you have to be a doer. Say, I'm a doer. James 1, verse 22 through 25, we've got a lot of scripture tonight. It says, but be doers of the word. Everyone say doers. Say, I am a doer and not a hearer. Not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Everyone say doer. Doer. This one will be blessed in what he does. I want you to focus on that phrase up there in verse 22, deceiving yourselves. Hearers only are deceiving themselves. If you're just coming to church and you just think this is a book full of nice little stories and pastor can encourage me with it here and there, you're deceiving yourselves. The actual translation of that phrase there is you're delusional. You're delusional. So before we, the next thing I want to jump to real quickly is before we begin to practice God's word, you got to understand one thing is that God's word is for you. Everyone say, for me. It's for this time. It's for this place. It's for this culture. 2 Timothy 3, we don't have it. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Romans 15, verse 4 says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Daniel, what do you mean? The scripture's for me. I know that. What I mean is that before we can start doing the word, we have to realize that when we come to church, when we open the Bible, when we look at it, we begin to do it, we got to do it for ourselves. You ever been around those people? Man, that sermon was great today, Pastor. I sure wish my brother was here to hear it. Have you ever been around people like that? Well, that's a really cool story that Jesus told there, but man, that was for his time. Really wasn't for my time. Man, that was really something what Jesus was saying there about the religious people being judgmental and all that, but that was really just for about Pharisees and the Jewish culture. It really didn't apply to me. Before you and I can ever begin to practice God's word and get what we're supposed to get out, you have to realize it's for you. It's alive. It's powerful for today. I was talking to somebody, and he was saying to me, he's not a Christian, and he was saying, Daniel, we need a whole new Bible. We need a whole new Bible. That your guys' Bible, it's out of date. It's for a different time. How do we know that's not true at all? This word is life right here. The same promises that worked back then, they work today. The methods may change, but the message stays the same. So it's for today. This isn't just a book of just nice little stories. It's alive, and it's for you. I love what Thomas Watson, I put it in your notes. He's a Puritan preacher. He said, take every word as spoken to yourselves. When the word thunders against sin, think this, God means my sins. When it presses against my duties or my activities, God intends me in this. Many put off scripture from themselves as if it only concerned those who lived in the time when it was written. But if you intend to profit by the word, bring it home to yourself. A medicine will do no good unless it is applied. How good is that? We need to quit pushing off on other people. When we come into church, we say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? When we open our Bible, those 10 minutes of meditation, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to reveal to me today? I'm not going in here to try to find a word for Tamara. I'm not going in here trying to find a word for my kids or for my boss. I'm saying, God, where do I need to change? God, how can I get better? Has everyone got me? So let's talk about real practical. How do we practice God's word? Number one, obey God's word. I got a woo. I like that. Say obey. John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them. Everyone say keeps them. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Speaking of being in the gym, I have a friend who is always trying out a brand new diet. Do you have any friends like that? Every week, it seems like there's a brand new diet. They find a new diet out there, you know. And then they start the diet. And then as they're going, I'll be hanging out with them or whatever, and I'll say, wait, didn't you just start this keto thing? And they're like, yeah. I was like, well, you're eating Doritos. And they'll be like, well, no, that I'm switching it up. I'm making it my own. Then the next week they'll be on a new diet, you know, some kind of vegetarian thing, and I'll say they'll be having a hamburger. I'm just having a little cheat day, you know, I'll get through it. And it can be frustrating sometimes. But I want you to write, I don't know if this is in your notes, I hope it is, but something I want you to understand is that your spiritual strength and stability, they're related to your adherence to the scripture. Okay. Our spiritual strength and stability is directly related to your adherence to the scripture. There is a study out of Southeastern Michigan University. It's actually on the U.S. National Library of Medicine, their website. And they actually took 180 people and they put them in three different groups and they did diets with all of them. They did the zone diet. You didn't know you were going to get this tonight, did you? Ornish diet, which is like a vegetarian diet, right? You heard of that? It was like big in the 90s. And then the Atkins diet. You heard of that one, right? Okay, so they put all these 180 people in the diet, right? And they have all different kinds of macro levels. They're keeping track of all this. Does anyone know what macros is? Wow, two people. Okay, protein, there we go, Chris. Yeah, so protein, right, carbs. Everything's different. Calories is different. Everything is different, right? Well, they do this study, and they find out that the number one contributing factor to each one losing weight has nothing to do with the calories or the macros. It has nothing to do with whether you did Atkins or the vegetarian diet. Do you know what it has to do with? Come on. Amen. Compliance. In all circumstances, you and I, we have to make the decision to be 100% compliant to this book. Do you understand what I'm saying? Daniel, what's compliance? It means following the diet to the letter. Following each and every word of this book. Not just picking out, well, yeah, I'm doing Atkins, but I just can't give up the Doritos. It's not going to work, is it? It's the same way with this book. If you and I want to have a strong spirit, I can't just have the desserts of this book. He will give me the desires of my heart. And leave out the delight myself in the Lord. Do you understand? You can't just pick the parts that you want and throw the rest away. For instance, okay, so in my own life, couple weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and fear just gripped me. Anybody have one of those? Fear just gripped me. Like I was sick to my stomach. I was shaking. I felt like I was gonna throw up. And I was thinking about the future, a certain situation that's going on in my life. And you know, the devil was just putting all the negative things in there. And I'm sitting there, I'm sweating, I'm thinking about it, couldn't sleep. And the natural just gripped by fear. So how do you deal with that? How does this apply to that right there? So what I encourage you to do, real easy, right, is you could go to Google and type up, instead of running to the doctor or running to medication first off, you could run to Google and type in scriptures on peace or scriptures on fear, right? How easy is that? We're blessed with technology today, right? Didn't know Google was in the ministry, did you, until tonight? You could type that in there and it would say, okay, Philippians 4 through 9 is some great verses on peace. So how would I do this? All right, I'm having a problem with fear. I'm going to look up Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Everyone say, do that. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Everyone say, you get that. Say, you get that. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. I'm showing you how obeying God's word makes you strong. You following me? Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Everyone say, do that. And the God of peace will be with you. Say, you get that. Do you see what we just did there? We talk about obeying God's word. So many people want that. You get that without doing the do that. So many people want the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, but they don't do the first part, which says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So I lay in there in bed and I say, no, devil, I'm so thankful. Look what how God has taken care of me in the past. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the time you healed my wife when she had bacterial meningitis. It looked terrible. Thank you for the time, God, when you showed up, brought in that money. I wasn't expecting it. You've always had my back. Now, when I started doing that, guess what came? The peace of God. So do you guys understand? Do you see what I'm doing right here? In CrossFit, there's this phrase. It says, you can't out-train a bad diet. You can't out-train a bad diet. Do you know what that means? It's like, I love chocolate cake. I love pecan pie. And I could eat all that, but I'll be fine. Eat pecan pie for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then try to go work out. It's going to be a mess, isn't it? Am I going to see the results? I'm not going to see good results. It's the same way with you and I. If we want the results, we're going to have to obey and put the right things in our spirit. Amen? All right. So number two, everyone okay? All right. Speak God's word. Speak God's word. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. I don't got a lot of time to spend right here, but each time you and I, we speak God's word, we give voice to God's word. Do you know that in Psalms, it actually says when you and I speak the word of God, the angels go to work. When they hear this Bible, they instantly go to work doing what you just said out of this word. So each time you speak God's word, you give voice to his word. And so this is another way that we know we're doers of the word. You will always get what you say. You always get what you say, whether it's unbelief, whether it's faith. If I have more time, Dad took my preaching time in the offer. No, I just... Dad, can I have 10 more minutes? I would take you there, but you know, in Numbers, right, 13, we see the spies, right? We had 12 spies. 10 of them said God had told them they could have the promised land. It was theirs, right? He was with them. God himself, right? This all thunder, fire, all this stuff, and yet they still doubted. 10 of them said, we can't do it. They're too big. They're bigger than our God. They got what they said. They didn't go to the promised land. 2 of them said, we can do it. God's with us. Nothing can hold us back. That's being a doer of God's word. And they got what they said. It's important the word of God's in your mouth. If you want to know if you're a doer of the word, are you speaking doubt and unbelief today? God's word always has a good report. Are you speaking positive? Are you speaking hope? Are you speaking joy? Are you speaking a good future? That's how you know if you're a doer of God's word. Number 3, act on God's word. This is the part I wanted to get to. Act on God's word. Everyone say act. Everyone say act. Luke 5, verse 5. This is the story of Jesus. He's telling Peter to go out and throw the net right on another side of the boat. And he says, if you do, you'll catch fish. I want to just read Peter's response here. It says, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net, right? Everyone see that? Is it up there? Okay, I'm going to read that again. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, you don't know what you're talking about. We toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. There's a couple of things I want to bring out about this story. Is Peter, he is a fisherman. That's his job. That's what he does. Can you imagine he risked looking foolish in front of all his buddies and in front of all the different business owners there in town But it didn't matter. He said, Jesus, even though I might look foolish, I'm still going to follow your word. Now, this is what I want you to get. A big part of you and I being a doer of God's word is humility. Humility. Everyone say humility. A lot of times, we won't admit it, but we think we got more wisdom than God. A lot of times, we think, well, we read the books. We know the right people. Well, I heard this podcast, and we're not humble enough to do the simple stuff that's right here. Does that make sense? We had this guy that was coaching me and Dad in CrossFit, like I said. And he was told us about, he said, guys, I'm going to tell you how to do gymnastic movements stronger. I'm going to tell you how to get stronger body weight movements, okay, pull-ups, all that stuff. And he gave us these silly progressions, Neil. They were just weird. Never done them before. No one's ever had me do them since then. They were terrible. I mean, just we would sweat. It'd be horrible. But I was thinking in the back of my head, you know, man, I've been with some great coaches. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But I went ahead and did it, right? Went ahead and did it. So Dad and I would do this week after week after week after week. And then suddenly we noticed something start happening. Our upper body strength, right, our body weight strength started to increase, like huge, right? So let me show you this video. Some of you have seen it. This is of Dad doing a pegboard climb legless at 65 years old. So I can brag on Dad a little bit there. But the point being is we thought we knew more than that guy. And look at the results. Many times it's the same way with us right here. We think we know more than this guy. And we're wondering why our results stink. We're wondering why we're weak, why we collapse, why the smallest little thing, man, just ruins our week. We fail under the pressure. It's because maybe we think we know more than God. Maybe we say, no, God, we'll do it our way. You and I have to abandon our thoughts for God's thoughts. You and I have to abandon our thoughts for what's right here if we want to be strong, if we want to make it in the last days. For example, if you think at night you're laying in bed, no one loves me. God has thoughts. His thoughts are, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. If I say to myself, I've failed, it's over for me. God's word has different thoughts than you. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5, verse 4. If your thoughts are, I'm so weak, I'm sore, I can't make it today, I'm just tired of fighting the good fight. The Lord says, let the weak say, I am strong, in Joel 3, verse 10. If I'm convinced that I can't do it, God's thoughts are, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you and I want to be strong, you're going to have to abandon your thoughts for these thoughts right here. So, being your spiritual coach. No, Daniel's going to give us more homework. On the back of your sheet here that we handed out, do you guys see those right there? Daily confessions. Now, they're all based on God's word there. You see that? They're all God's thoughts. This isn't any weird stuff Daniel made up. But what I'd like for you to do one time in the morning, I'm going to say one time in the morning, I'd like for you to begin confessing these things over yourself. Look in the mirror and say, now, if you want to do more than that, that's cool. But these right here, when I was like a young guy, Dad gave me these. And some of you are nodding, you remember these. and you say these each and every day. That's your exercise. That's what's on the whiteboard for today, okay? Your spiritual exercise. You begin to do that, and what's going to happen is you're going to trade your thoughts out for God's thoughts. When you walk into the most pressure-filled moments of your life, the stuff that's rise up on the inside of you isn't going to be thoughts of defeat, isn't going to be thoughts of giving up, isn't going to be thoughts of God's abandoned me. It's going to be thoughts like this: I've received abundant grace. I have the gift of righteousness, and I reign in life through Jesus Christ. When you feel like you're tired and you just don't have no more strength, I'm renewed in the knowledge of God. I no longer want to live in my old ways or nature before I accepted Christ. When you feel like you're mad, right, at your coworkers and you want to lose it on them, right, you could say, I am merciful. I do not judge others. I forgive quickly. As I do this, by God's grace, He blesses my life. Do you see how that works? So, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Who promises me this? Oh, Paul, you're up, man. You're ready to go. All right. Who promises this week you'll do this one time in the morning? Can you do that for me? That's pretty good. Look around there. So don't try to skip next week because we're going to have accountability time, right? But I'm proud of you. By doing these things, you're going to grow strong in spirit. Number one, how do we practice God's word? What was it? Okay, let's say it again. Obey God's word, right? Number one. Right, there we go. Number two. And then number three. All right, let's say it one more time. Number one. Number two. And number three.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.